Let's remain standing for the reading of God's Word from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 9. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city, that is, the town of Capernaum. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? But which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully.
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah, for that beautiful testimony of God's grace and mercy in love in your life. And just as he poured out his lavish mercy upon you and forgave you and healed you and gave you a new life, so Jesus has been doing that for 2,000 years. And we see that in the story of the paralytic. Some friends of the paralytic brought them to Jesus in faith. Faith that they knew that this man, who had a reputation as a healer, for he had been already for months and months and possibly a year or more, healing whoever came. So they came in faith. And Jesus looked at that man. And he saw that that man was paralyzed. Obviously, he's lying on his bed. And anyone, Jesus for sure, can infer these people want this man to be healed. But Jesus saw deeper. He saw the true, deep, and spiritual need of this man. And so the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth is not, "Rise up and walk. Your faith has healed you." But he says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." I love that. I love that Jesus is addressing the deepest spiritual need of our lives and in the life of this paralytic. Yeah, he'll get to the healing, for sure. But right now, the most important thing is that this man is estranged from God. He is lost. And Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save the lost." And he did that to this paralytic then, and he is still doing that today, all around the world. Now, someone might say, it's like, so is there a connection between this man's sin and his paralysis? And I would say, maybe, maybe not. You recall the story in John about this man who was born blind, and there was a question there posed by his disciples. So who sinned? See, in their theology, there was a cause and effect. You did bad things, and bad things happened to you. Now, that is kind of true in this world. There is a cause and effect. But Jesus says, no, it wasn't this child or even his parents that sinned. But rather, this is just the reality of the broken world that we live in. And this is for the glory of God. That in this healing, God will receive glory. In another place, he says to this woman caught in the act of adultery, when he says, "You can go," he says, "Go and sin no more." Jesus is always concerned about the deep spiritual needs of our heart. And so he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, meanwhile, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, who had heard about the healing ministry of this man who many were calling the Son of Man, the Messiah, they were checking things out for themselves. Who is this guy? What kind of authority does he have? Where does this man's power come from? All of us that are familiar with the stories of the gospel know that the religious leaders were on to Jesus. And they're watching, perhaps from a distance, and they're thinking to themselves, "This man is a blasphemer." What is blasphemy? The book of Leviticus says that blasphemy is making yourself out to be God. And in a real way, Jesus, by forgiving sins, was making himself to be God, because only God can forgive sins. Or so the thinking in the mind of these scribes. And it says there that Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus is watching them. He's summing up the situation and thinking, I know exactly what's going on in your hearts. And he says, so, why are you thinking this way? What is easier? What is easier? To say to someone, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And then he turns to the paralytic and he says, rise up and walk. So what is easier? What is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to perform a miracle? Well, talk is cheap, they say. Anybody can say, your sins are forgiven. Barb, I can say that right now. Now, the question is that really happening in your heart? And am I really the one that's doing the forgiving? No, God is the one. When I say at the end of our confession that the good news of the gospel is that we are forgiven people, we are forgiven. I say that because that is what Christ has done. And as a minister of the gospel, I have the authority to stand here and say, believe the good news. Trust that God has forgiven you. Know that he has. Confess your sins one to another. Confession is good for the soul. And it is a beautiful thing when a brother and sister says, you know you're forgiven. You know God loves you so much. Talk is cheap. Jesus proved that he had the authority as the Son of Man, as the Messiah. Indeed, God incarnate to forgive, because he demonstrated that by saying to that man, rise up and walk. Talk is cheap. But what did it cost Jesus to be able to forgive that man and to forgive us? Jesus Christ, incarnate God, had to become poor so that we might become rich. Jesus Christ had to walk the path to Calvary, to die a death on the cross, to make propitiation, to make a bridge, because our sins had made a separation between us and God. We were not in fellowship with the one who created us. And we could never aspire to fix that problem ourselves. Only God could do that. And so God came in the flesh, in the incarnation, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid the price, and so that he could say with authority, your sins are forgiven. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know that your sins are forgiven? We run around. We do so many things. I'm reminded of the wonderful pastor, Tim Keller, who says that our hearts are inclined to idolatry. And there are three driving things in our lives that push us to cling to idols. We want love, as Sarah was talking about, and the things that you do for love. Looking for love in all the wrong places. And we've all been there, haven't we? We need to be loved. And if we look in the wrong places for that love, we will find hurt and pain and more brokenness, because only Jesus Christ can heal us. He takes our paralysis and our brokenness, and he speaks life into our lives, because he speaks forgiveness and reconciliation. That is our Jesus. Tim Keller would say, we need to be loved. We need to have our sense of power and control in our lives. And we want security. Some people cling to the almighty dollar for their security. And it makes sense because in this world, money is power. But in the upside down kingdom that Jesus is announcing here in the book of Matthew, listen, you want security? You can only find that in the safety of your relationship with God, in the shelter of His wings. Jesus Christ has loved you. Jesus Christ welcomes you. And Jesus Christ beckons that you and I find our true identity in Him. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let us walk in that freedom. Let us renounce the things that we cling to so easily. Whatever that looks like in your life, are you paralyzed in your life in some way, shape, or form? Come to Jesus. Ask Him to release you, because He is the one, the Messiah, the Son of God, who has said, I will proclaim the year of Jubilee in your life. I will release the captives. Whatever is binding you, I will take that away. And you will find rest. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, meek and lowly, He is the one who paid the price that we might have life, that we might have forgiveness.